I'm going to tell a story because it's funny. You think, well, now you're 13 or you're a bat mitzvah, and people say, you've become an adult. Who's an adult at 13? I wasn't an adult at 21. So, you know, it's really, you're the beginning to be an adult. So I wanted to give you a story to help guide you, give you some advice, and for as you're maturing into an adult, what to look for and how to do it better than I did. Like your parents, I grew up in L.A., or as we also call it, Lala, because everyone seems to be in their own world. When I was in high school, my dad gave me a big book of career choices. So I would look through, like, what do I want to do? And one of the things I remember that really piqued my interest is, you know, being in the West Coast, was the ocean. I think, oh, maybe I'll go into marine biology. I like science and I like the ocean. But then I looked at what the average salary was. I thought, I'm going to be eating fish sticks for the rest of my life. So maybe I'll pick something else. I did a lot of sports. Eventually, though, one day, I think of my sophomore, junior year, my mom said, you should try out for a singing competition. I did like to sing. And I said, I don't know. I mean, I do. I play basketball. I lift weights. I don't really know. But I did it anyway. I sang a song from Lion King. And the judge said, you should really go into classical singing. I said, well, that's interesting. I got to the semifinals, and that was really about it. In my book, in my my room, you would see, if you saw this strange juxtaposition of philosophy books and theology books, and then Steve Martin and Mel Brooks movies. And then to make things stranger, when I went into college, I went in as an astronomy major. I read a lot of Einstein, and I thought, this would be pretty cool. I love the stars. You know, it's really God's handiwork. It's really the stars, the universe is God's tapestry. And I love the notion of it. But then when I looked at the practicality of it, I figured I'm going to become Batman, sleeping by day and working at night. And that's not the kind of life that I want to live. So I said no. My professor was quite upset. But I said, I'm going to move on. And so I looked around. I said, what could I do? I could go into English. I liked reading and writing. I liked philosophy, or as people say, you know, deep thoughts about getting paid nothing. I enjoyed the Bible. And then there was an audition my sophomore year for West Side Story. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. I always loved the show. And I got the role of Tony. And this role was promised to a senior. He didn't get it. And we didn't talk much. Eventually, we became friends. This also parallels my time of really going into Messianic Judaism. Really, as growing up, where we went to a church, and so we would pass over in Hanukkah at the house, you know. But it really wasn't so culturally there. And so my mom said, "Go to Beth Yeshua." This was right outside of this was in Philadelphia, and I loved it. I said, "Wow, this is awesome!" And this also was a time when I went to Israel for the first time, and I fell instantly in love. And my mom, her family, they're mostly Cohens and Levies. So I thought, well, this is cool. So this is very special and unique. At the college I was going to as well, we were taking classes in the Bible. And I just like, wow, this is not just the Bible's history. This is my history. So I really started to dive into it and be like, this is mine. I really want to learn more. So at this time, I changed my major to singing, and had no idea how to read music, and I had to learn how to read music, I had to learn languages, I had to learn vocal technique, but I persisted, and I started to really enjoy this. I also now just saw that there was a new Chabad house. Chabad is a branch of Hasidic Judaism. You see them near the JCC in Fairfax. And I always, like I said, I've been into history. I liked doing something right. And I thought, you know, let me check something out. Let me see who these guys are. See how Jews have been living their lives for hundreds of years. So when I went in there, I saw that just lots of dancing and singing. And it was very vibrant. I thought, this is really cool. I really like this. I'd never experienced anything in my life. I could read all that I could. I talked with the rabbis, you know, you don't drive, Orthodox Jews don't drive, so we'd walk for about an hour, actually. And so I would learn as much as I could. Anything about Messianic Judaism, traditional Judaism, I was reading. I went to Israel a couple more times. I started going to Orthodox synagogues, and I even had the great pleasure of meeting an anti-missionary. If you know who an anti-missionary is, whatever Jewish believers do, they do the opposite. Whatever Jewish believers say is good, they say it's bad. They're anti-missionaries, as they call themselves. And this led me to being kicked out of synagogues and kicked out of yeshiva. And I, even though I was on the path to becoming an ordained Orthodox rabbi, I did get kicked out. I did finish the ordination. However, my heart was starting to become really torn. I thought I was doing everything right. I thought I was doing everything I should be doing. But I wasn't welcome. It seemed to me like bagels, lox, and peanut butter. It just didn't go. Summer of 2005, I was at the UMGC conference in San Jose. I was still living like an Orthodox Jew. I was singing arias and happy birthday in Italian at a local Italian restaurant. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where I should go. I didn't know where I fit in. During the Friday night service at the UMJC conference, I was leading the traditional service, and there was one of those movable dividing walls. So we had the traditional service on one side of the wall. On the other side of the wall, we had contemporary Christian worship. Now, as a good Orthodox Jew, I knew you didn't play instruments on Shabbat, and you didn't use electricity on Shabbat, and you didn't play Christian worship songs on Shabbat. But I knew across that wall was the presence of God. And I wanted to be there. And I was torn inside, even as I was praying, that I wanted to be on the other side, even though it went against, in a way, everything that I was trying to be. That's where I wanted to be because God was there. That's where life was, and I was dying. So I did what any good Jew would do, and I took off my kippah, and I moved to Israel. I wanted to be home. And I moved to the Judean hills right outside of Jerusalem to be in Asher Intrader's ministry. This didn't really work out. And so you're probably asking yourself, how many times has this guy made a change? How many turns has this guy made? The answer is a lot. And there's more. I moved to Tel Aviv, and I started going to Messianic synagogue there. And I was also a coffee barista at a local Aroma Cafe, which is pretty awesome coffee. This didn't work, so I moved to Jerusalem. And I found my way at the Academy of Music at Hebrew University. One of the perks of moving to Israel is they give you a free degree if you're under 30. So I figured, you know what? What do I have to lose? I'll become a big star in Israel, and life will be good. So during my time in Israel, I had also the opportunity to travel to China to teach in illegal churches, to lead a Passover Seder for 500 people. I had the chance to go to the Philippines and participate at a conference for indigenous worship of God, that is, people in their own cultures worshiping God, not necessarily as the Europeans had imposed upon them, but and through their own methods and cultural norms. I performed classical songs and musical theater throughout Israel and in Europe, and I even had the opportunity to perform in an opera workshop put on by the Metropolitan Opera in New York, where it was hosted in Tel Aviv. And yet, I wasn't satisfied. I was still searching. So, I made the magical leap from the Holy Land to Amish Land. A vocal teacher in Germany had suggested that I continue to fine-tune my technique and not go into trying to make a living as a professional singer. I said, so who's the best teacher you know? He said, he's a teacher I know who lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I said, okay, so that's where I'm going. I study with this teacher 3 times a week. Normally, people study with a teacher once a week. I was very immersed in this. And he was a believer, so he would talk about life and God as well as vocal technique and singing. Once while in his waiting room, I picked up a magazine called Classical Singer Magazine, and I read a story about a young singer who was trying to make it, and he was on the road 10 months out of the year. And he would take his family with him, he had a wife and 2 kids, as often as he could, and my heart sank. I thought, I don't want to be running around 10 months out of the year. What kind of family life is this? So I went in, took the lesson, but I left. I'm like, what am I going to do? 7 months later, I thought, this is not for me. If you're exhausted by this point, you should be. Coincidentally, And that's the word we use when God's plan starts to come together. My teacher was going to New York for vacation. So he said, "And we're not going to have lessons for a week." I said, "Okay." He said, "You know what? That actually sounds like a good idea." So I planned my own expedition to New York, see my friends from Israel who are performing at Brooklyn College. And when I told a buddy about this, he said, "Do you want to meet somebody? She's Jewish. She's a believer." I said, "Is she cute?" He said, "Send me a picture." I said, "All right." So I got to Brooklyn, and my wife picked me up. Well, now my wife. And we hit it off, and I was so enamored, so in love, that after a month or so of talking on the phone, I decided without consulting her that I'm going to move to New York and to pursue her. More than really anything I know, I wanted a family and a wife and kids. So as I got to New York, my wife said to me, very bluntly, because that's what she's good at, "You need to get a real job." As my grandfather calls life in the arts, is no Edoms. So I said, "You know what? What could I do? I could teach music." So I got certified to teach music in New York City, and not much work there. So then they said, "Well, you can get an extension to teach special ed. There's plenty of work there." So I got certified to teach special ed, bounced around from different schools as a teacher's assistant, and eventually with the help of my mother-in-law, who would knows everybody and will talk to anybody to help out her family, eventually I got a position of my own in Queens. At the same time as I was getting a real job, I joined Brooks Congregation in New York. The rabbi really took me in, and he and his wife would mentor us as a couple, as premarital counseling, and also individually. Dan Juster was visiting a congregation, and Dan and I go way back to when I was in Jerusalem, and he said to me at one point, in his very Dan Juster kind of way, "Grow a while." What he meant was he knew my wanderings, my thoughts, my this and that. I've been here, I've done this. But he knew that if you really want to grow, you have to stay put. A tree can't be upplanted and put in a different thing every time and figure that it's going to have some sort of growth. Stay put, let your roots sink in so that growth can happen. The soil, of course, is Yeshua, and I had to really be in him for me to see growth. So just like with my wife, I listened. Now, I had always been a believer my whole life. I wasn't always the greatest disciple, but I never really forsook God or Yeshua. But I got to say, really, it was in New York when I pursued the Lord like I did. Really being discipled by a rabbi and truly taking ownership of my faith as a man. And as I did this, I started to see fruit that I've never really seen before. This is something of the fruit that I've really wanted my whole life. This was really fruit of finding myself in him. As I pursued him, my life began to come into order. It started to come into peace. It started to come into control. Not physical control, but the control by the Spirit. Not of my past, not control of my pains, not control of my emotions. As my roots got deeper, my trunk could grow upwards, and my branch could grow outwards. Sometimes things went faster, sometimes things went slower, but I knew if I kept at it, that I would see it all work out, because he's faithful. He proved himself over and over again. I started to look into a mirror and I would see a different person. I hated in a way to say that I've always been a believer my whole life, that it took me this long to really act like a disciple, but I'm grateful that it happened nonetheless. After some years at the congregation, the rabbi asked if I would like to be his assistant. So I knew I was still a work in progress, but he wanted to groom me into a position of leadership to take over one day in New York or maybe somewhere else. After a series of events at the congregation, I started to take a more prominent role, and I thought to myself, I really like this. Now, how can I make a living doing it? I asked my rabbi out front, "You going to retire soon?" And he said, "No, I don't really have any plans for retirement." So I got on the phone, started to ask around, who needs a rabbi? And the decision really wasn't that easy. Frankly, Brooke and I had always envisioned us living in New York. She'd never lived anywhere but New York. All of her family was in New York. We lived on the street from her parents. This was a big decision. And frankly, if you're from New York, you think that the other 49 states, like, what do? When we told her family about this possibility, they weren't happy. And that's the PG version. Yet we consisted to seek the Lord and His will. I consisted even seeing her parents, even though sometimes I wanted to be in the other room. And after nearly a year of praying, talking about it, going back and forth, we came to the conclusion that this was from the Lord and that we would be moving to Virginia. It's here where I found all my desires, my ambitions, my wanderings, my ideas, my career options, my talents, that these all came to a culmination of fulfillment, contentment, and incredible fruit bearing. I finally arrived at the place I was supposed to be. And you know how I got here, Ari? By pursuing the Lord, by never quitting, by repenting, by always receiving His love, by pressing into Him, by seeking Him. One of my favorite and most used prayer is, I love you and I trust you. I repeat it over and over. I say it with fervor. I know that this is the foundation of my relationship with God. It's the foundation of my identity, and it's the foundation of my stability. Ari, pursue God. Love Him. Fall into the arms of Yeshua and never leave. Trust Him. Let His Spirit guide you, and you will find yourself in Him. I'm going to read from 1 John 3, 1 through 3. See how glorious a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And so we are. You are a daughter of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Loved ones, now we are God's children, and it has not yet been revealed what we will be. But we do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. As you behold Him more, you will see who you really are. As you hope in Him, you become pure. Purity is getting rid of the false self and becoming the self God has for you in Yeshua. This self is your true self, the self that comes with contentment, peace, and joy. As you grow, grow in Him. As you search for the direction for your life, search for Him. As you seek to find yourself, find Him, and you will find both. As you find yourself in Him,